This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Yeah, I'll give an example. I had one guest who said, you know, I used to be involved in I had a partnership. I had to buy that partner. And I don't want to talk about that. Okay, it was good for me to know.
Oh, no, you know? Nothing like that.
Okay. And the other thing is I try to keep it, you know, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to any of them, but, you know, kind of 20 to 30 minutes type of range.
Sure.
My logic here is, well, back, the logic may not apply anymore, but the logic at the time was, you know, it's a typical commute for somebody. So they can listen to an entire episode on their way to work or on their way home from work. Now with everybody working hybrid and remote, I'm not sure that still applies, but I'm personally a big fan of long form podcasts, but that's certainly not for everybody for sure.
Quick question for you.
Yeah.
Just because I don't know if you found me through Evolve Movement or if you found me through my personal Christine Labbé brand.
Lisa can answer that. Lisa, do you recall where we found Christine from?
We have a list, and I believe it was under Evolve Movement.
Just for questions, right now I'm trying to focus more on my personal brand, I'm doing as an entrepreneur.
Sure. Let's talk about that.
Just instead of, because the Evolve Movement is kind of evolving right now, so I'd rather stick to this.
No problem.
Instead, if that's okay.
Yeah, 100%. One thing I like to ask all entrepreneurs, but if they don't, I give them a heads up in case they don't do work in the community. But do you do anything community wise? Is your business at the point where you're able to give back in terms of your time or resources, or do you want me to stay clear of that question?
So I can't, financially, my business is not in a place to be able to do that. Yep. Do I give back all the time? I give a lot of my time.
Yeah.
You know, I give a lot of my time during talks. I give a lot of my time to speak to different groups without being paid for it. So for me, it's really about creating the change. That means a lot to me. But financially, it's not something I'm capable of right now.
No. But to me, giving back is not just financially. I mean, you know, we give back our services all the time. I don't, you know, we do a combination of both. Some years I'm able to write a check, and some years I'm able to do time instead. It's just the reality of owning a business.
Actually, I do have a podcast, which, as you know, is something we give our time to, and it's to educate. So I do that.
Okay.
With nothing coming in from that. For sure. Okay, I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah. I know. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything, do you have any questions for me before we hit record and get started?
Is there anything you'd like me to, is there any kind of messaging you'd like me to?
No.
No? Okay. I just want to make sure, just to make sure I'm speaking to your audience.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing, Christine, that, you know, what we'll do is, you know, this will end up on Spotify and iTunes. We'll also take the video portion, post it on our YouTube channel. And then I'll try to find a snippet, or Lisa will try to find a snippet of kind of 1 to 2 minutes that I'll personally post on my LinkedIn channel, because I have a decent following there. And typically that clip is, hey, you know, what's the most important lesson you want to pass along to our listeners about being an entrepreneur? So that would be the only question that I'll definitely ask you, other than the very beginning where we're asking about you and your business, and get all that out and give you a chance to talk about yourself.
Okay.
Sound good?
Sound good.
Okay. Lisa, you all set on your end?
Good to go.
Thanks, Christine, for taking the time to join us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm so glad I'm here.
Christine, why don't we start off? You tell us a bit about yourself and your company, please.
Sure. So my name is Christine Labbé, and some people may know me as the Conscious Practitioner. And I work in service of families that have children facing neurodiversity, disability, or complex medical needs.
Can you expand on, like, what does neurodiversity mean for those listeners who may not understand that, please?
Yes. So it's children that have been diagnosed. You know, you might hear children that have been diagnosed with autism, ADHD. Sometimes it can be, you know, Rett syndrome. It can be cerebral palsy. It can be all kinds of different diagnoses that would put children in a certain box, I suppose, which I'm trying to support these children to be able to shine and really share their beautiful gifts with the world.
And what led you to this line of work?
Well, it's actually my own daughter. So as you may have thought, you know, my daughter has Rett syndrome, and my second career, because this wasn't my first career, this is my second career, it really stems from my experience as a parent with Gabby. I started by going to do a training to be able to do a form of, it's a certain modality that I do with her. It's a form of neuroplasticity that's introduced through movement. It's called neuromovement. And it's something that I found to be very effective for her right from the start. And so I did a training. It took about 3 years for me to become a practitioner, to be able to start working with her. And then I started working with families. I went through my own transformation in the training itself. And that led me to go a little deeper as a parent. So I studied to be a conscious parenting coach and started coaching parents. So, you know, if we think about my business as a whole, we can look at it more from the standpoint of whole family healing, where I'm supporting the parents and the children and really helping the parents change the narrative. Because, you know, when we get a diagnosis for our children, we often think it's a really bad thing. But in truth, we can change that narrative, and our children can also change the narrative in terms of where they're going to go. And so my goal is to support the family as a whole.
And is, you know, when you're telling people about what it is that you do, where do you start? Because it sounds like you kind of, yes, the family as a whole, but you've got the parent coaching, you've got the work you do with the children. Do you kind of meet them where they're at, or how does that work for you?
Yes. So I work them where they're at. I meet them where they are right now in my practice. So if I have families coming to me in my own practice, I can work with the parent and the child, or just the parent or just the child. But I also work with organizations where I'm teaching them about whole family healing and the importance of the correlation between the parent and the child, and the parent's healing, the correlation between the parent's healing and the child really thriving.
Now, is it, Christine, is this something new, this whole family healing? I'm not familiar with that term.
Well, because it's not really widespread, right? It's something that for me is very important. It's important for me to raise awareness about it, because it's really key in terms of creating an optimal learning and healing environment for these children to really step into their potential. You know, oftentimes these children are not seen, they're misunderstood, and, you know, we're often judging them by their limitations from the very start. And so they're not really given a fair chance. And the reality is they have so many beautiful qualities, strengths, and gifts to share with the world. And I think it's important for them to get that opportunity. But sometimes the parents are influenced by what's around them, and then their own inner world is affecting how they're reacting to what's happening outside of them. And so it's important for them to do that healing so they can kind of clear that lens to see the child clearly.
So do you find parents resist this idea initially when you're approaching them, or is it almost a relief that you have these tools and this ability to help a family holistically?
You know what? And I was one of those parents that would have absolutely resisted this at the beginning. There are specific stages that parents go through, and this is part of the education as well for professionals to understand those various stages that the parent goes through when they receive that diagnosis. What happens to them? You know, what are the things that come up for them? What are the challenges that come up? And how does that translate in terms of how they show up for the child, right? So in the beginning, yes, there is a resistance, but over time, there's this openness that occurs. And we talk about it, when we talk about when that might happen, is when the parents move into a space of acceptance. That's when there's a little bit more of this opening to start changing the narrative. So the parents won't necessarily come to me right away, right? Because they're in denial, or they're resisting, or they're in the fixer mode. I call it the warrior parent. But again, there's the whole point for me is to share with parents that there's hope, because I find that something that is, sometimes we're robbed of hope at the beginning of this journey. And it's so important for parents to remember there is hope. There's so much hope.
This is an incredibly deeply personal business. You know, we've had a lot of different types of business owners on here. I don't know if I've ever spoken to anyone where it's first of all, it's personal to you because of your own situation, but it's also very personal to the people that you're dealing with. Is that a challenge for you, if you don't mind me asking, like being able to you know, keep it as a business, but also understanding the intimate nature of this?
You know what? I think for me, it kind of drives me to be able to be so close to those that I am supporting. It's so important to me to be of service and to see the change that I'm creating. That's part of who I am, as a change maker. I feel like I'm someone who's meant to look at something and bring it to a different level. I think that's always been my world, every job I've ever had. And so it's really, it means a lot to me to be able to be there with the families and to see their progression and to see their transformation and to see the children transform. I mean, that just lights up my heart. It just brings me so much joy.
So is the relationship with the family, is it long term, or do you like what are some of your offerings for our listeners that may, you know, be in a need of this sort of service? Is there a short term option, long term? Like, what does that look like?
So with the families, usually it's a longer term relationship, because when I start seeing the children, you know, the changes are there. We see the children transform, they gain that confidence, they gain that sense of self. They see so much transformation within the child that is positive, and they just want to continue. And so we continue along for many years. Some children I've seen for multiple years, 5 years, you know, so I've really seen them grow into the beautiful humans that they are. And alongside the parents, sometimes I support at certain periods of time, and sometimes I'm supporting them for a longer period of time. It depends on the stage they're at. It depends on what they're wanting to work through. And other parents that, you know, don't live in Ottawa, I work with online. So I actually don't necessarily see their children. And those relationships can be longer term as well. But I find that it's longer term with the children than with the parents.
And what were you doing before you started this particular business?
Oh goodness, that's a great question. I actually
did I give you a loaded question here?
Yes. Well, I actually studied a master in fashion merchandising in Italy, so I was in a very world before. I worked for Aldo Group, and then I actually did a few years in the government as well, working on programs and market research and trade and all kinds of things that are completely unrelated to what I do now. However, I will say all the work that I did professionally really does help me today in the work that I'm doing, because if I were to want to help different programs to implement something like this whole family healing and starting to look at, well, how do we measure performance and all these things, I can think that way as well. So I can really understand, you know, all of those different aspects when thinking about building something that is going to support these families, but also understanding what I'm aiming to do, right?
Isn't it amazing, Christine, the skill sets that we get from, and it could be jobs, it's even summer jobs when we were young. And I find that when I'm, you know, if I'm asked to coach or mentor somebody that is considering being an entrepreneur, and I take a look at their history, their work history, and they will downplay some of the jobs that they've had because, oh, I don't really see how that applies to running your own business. And oftentimes I'll find a lot of different skills that they've learned over the years that directly apply to running your own business. Would you agree with that?
100%. I think every single job, education, everything I've done has led me to this day, and I use it all. It was meant to be. This was the path that was meant to be, and I'm so grateful. So we should be grateful for everything we've ever done.
So let's talk a little bit about the mindset of an entrepreneur, because, you know, you went from being an employee to being an entrepreneur, and specifically for those listeners that are considering starting their own business, is there one or two things that you'd recommend from a mindset aspect that you would have them consider doing before starting a business?
You know what? I think it's important. One thing that I think is really important when we're starting as a business is how passionate we are about what we're doing. You know, it really makes a difference when there's a certain cause, when there's something that's driving you, that lights you up. You know, when it lights you up, I feel like you're unstoppable. So I think for entrepreneurs that are starting and they're thinking about what they want to do, think about how it makes you feel. You know, how do you feel when you think about starting this business? Does it get you excited? Does it light you up? Is this something that you want to get up and get going and get doing, you know, on every single day? Because, you know, starting a business, it's a lot of work at the beginning. It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of work. And it's important that you're committed. So you want to know that it's really going to feed your soul. I think that's one of the major things.
It's interesting you say that, because there's kind of new research now showing that you not only have to follow your passion, but you have to follow your talent. Mm-hmm. Because you can be passionate about something, but you may not be very good at it. So did you just have a natural talent for this line of work that you're now in, this business that you're running? Or is it something you had to work at and practice and develop?
You know what? I think we're amazing beings and we can learn so many new skills. In fact, I had no idea I could do the work that I'm doing. If you would have asked me, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, or if you'd told me I'd be doing this, I would have said, no, you got the wrong girl. There's no way. Because you have to think about this. I'm working with children. You know, it's a form of brain plasticity through movement. I'm using my hands. I'm now understanding the functioning and movement of the body. It has nothing to do with my business background, right? And when I first started, I thought there's no way I can do this. So I think it's important for people to be open and also to think of the things that make us scared, those things that we fear. Like for me, for a long time, it was public speaking. I was so afraid of public speaking. And yet today I love it, you know? So I think we have to be open to what we can become, not be limited to what we are today, that there's so much that we can do.
Yeah, and it's just a really question of wanting to tap into that potential. I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I find a lot of people that I talk to, they put self-limitations on themselves right out of the gate. Well, I can't do that because, I tried that once and therefore I don't want to do that. And it's kind of hard to get them out of that shell. Did you go through that yourself, or do you find that in people that you talk to, fellow entrepreneurs or people that are thinking of starting a business?
Yes, I think that's a normal thing, that we limit ourselves. And, you know, it's interesting because initially we talked about healing, parents healing, and I think it's really the same thing. And not that I want to bring this up in this kind of conversation, but even for us entrepreneurs, it's important for us to go deeper and figure out what are those limitations? Where do they come from? And where did we get this idea that we can't, or that we're unable to, or that we will never be able to, or where does it come from? And to really dig a little deeper, because I find I became more successful as I became more connected to myself, right? The more time I spent connecting to myself, understanding who I am, knowing what my strengths are, what lights me up, you know, that helped me become who I am today, and it helps me to do what I'm doing out in the world. And I think it's really important. And I'm sure this is a very different message for entrepreneurs today, but it's a key one. It's really a key one.
Would you agree that entrepreneurs, by our nature, we don't put ourselves first enough in terms of our mental health, our physical health, and the like?
100%. We're doers. We're doers. And we work really hard, you know, and I totally 100% understand this. And I struggle with balance myself. You know, I have to remind myself, okay, I need to step away from the computer. I need to step away from this, because we just want to work all the time. But I will tell you, it is so important to take that time. I mean, I meditate on a regular basis and it inspires me. Sometimes I get inspired to write something one morning after a meditation, and I wouldn't have written that day if I wasn't inspired that morning through meditation. So sometimes when we take that time to slow down, when we take that time to quiet our minds, to be in that stillness, that's when all the ideas come in. That's when all the inspiration comes in. It's so important. It's so important. I would say, actually, this is the main thing for all entrepreneurs listening today, is stillness. Take time to be in silence, still, and let all that wonderful stuff come in.
That's a challenge for a lot of people listening to this, including myself, quite frankly, is trying to find that ability to have that stillness. Is it something you cultivated? You mentioned meditation, so that's a form of cultivation. I understand that. But is it something you you worked at over time, or did it just come to you?
Yes, actually, I think it started with everything that happened with my daughter actually forced me to go a little deeper for myself. And it actually started for me through somatic work. So the work that I do with the children, the neuromovement, is somatic work. And so I had to get on the floor and I started to move in these subtle ways. And I had to be in these movement lessons where I was barely moving my body and I had to pay attention. And for someone who's a doer and who liked, you know, high intensity sports, that was very challenging, right? But it was through that training that I transformed and really started to connect to myself in a way that I had never connected with myself before. In fact, it's because of this that I can connect with the children the way I can. But the point is, it was through this modality that I was able to connect with myself, and that it was kind of that gateway into that deeper healing, because I wouldn't have gone there otherwise. So for people who are listening and think, well, I can't just start meditating, or I can't just start going deep into my feelings, and, you know, there are so many different ways that we can do this. And it can be through, so some of these modalities, if people want to look them up, is Feldenkrais, the Feldenkrais method, and the Anat Banyal method of neuromovement. These are beautiful ways to just start to connect with yourself through your physical body, so you don't have to get into the feelings, but you're really coming home to yourself. And I feel like that is so key if we're going to share with the world that unique thing that is within us all, because each entrepreneur out there has something unique. Everyone, all of them listening, have something unique, but you're not going to be able to tap into it if you don't allow it to surface. And to allow it to surface, you have to take that time in the stillness. So it has to be cultivated, but there are various ways.
Let's go back a little bit. So, you know, you're working full-time, various jobs, and then you decide to start a business. Was there any book or podcast or video or something that you relied on to kind of walk you through, or did you have a mentor perhaps, or a business coach? Did you have resources or to help you along that journey to go from being an employee to being an entrepreneur?
Are you talking in terms of the journey and guidance, and, you know, someone that might have?
Yeah, just learnings. You know, I'll give you an example. On our last podcast, we had a lady who mentioned that, you know, she read a book, and it was called Profit First, and it really impacted her, and she started really understanding the financial side of business. So that as an example.
Sure. So there were many for me. There were books, there were modalities, there were speakers, there were, you know, and it continues. So it doesn't end with one. There have been many mentors along the way. I will say it all started with that transformation through the somatic work, and then everything kind of started to show up. You know, it's almost like the right book would show up at the right time, and then the right person would show up at the right time. And so it was very bizarre. It was like one person showed up and she helped me get out of my shell for public speaking, and then another person showed up, and it was always in the right moment that led me to a place. I will say, though, this has taken time. You know, a lot of us entrepreneurs, we're waiting for the thing to happen. And sometimes it takes a long time. We have to be patient, right? It takes work, it takes time, and it doesn't necessarily happen overnight. But all of this stuff we're doing until the day it happens overnight has value. There's a reason why we're being prepared for that overnight, you know, success that may occur. That may or may not happen for each entrepreneur, but, you know, not to get discouraged if it's taking more time, that everything that happens in between or before then, it will lead you to what you're meant to do. It's important. They're all important steps.
So, Christine, you mentioned, you know, at the beginning of this, we kind of touched on this question I'm about to ask, but you mentioned passion for a business, you mentioned stillness, and other things like that. Are those the key lessons you'd want our listeners to take away from this, or is there something that we may have missed today?
No, those are definitely important. But I think, you know, to close, just to remember that what lights you up That is really, really, really important, because you will find so much success if, one, you're being completely yourself, when you're sharing your true strengths, your true abilities, and part of that is you getting to know you, right? So I would say definitely being able to identify what lights you up is really going to create a huge change in how far and how successful your business is going to be.
So really what you're also saying, if correct me if I'm wrong here, but is to be self-aware.
100%.
Okay. Before we get into where listeners can find out more about you and your business and where they can reach you, we talked a little bit before we went live about some of the work that you're doing in the community. Can you share that with our listeners, please?
Share some of the work that I'm doing?
Yeah, in the community.
Oh, in the community. Yeah. Yes. So sometimes I may go and work with different professionals to teach them about how to show up for differently abled children, neurodiverse children, you know, how to show up in therapy, how you're connecting with them. So I give a lot of my time in that way. I give a lot of my time to the parents and the families that I work with, of course. And I also do a lot of conferences online. So I give a lot of my time to raising awareness through those conferences. And I have a podcast as well that I use to educate. So I bring on wonderful speakers and I ask them questions to kind of share this message about writing our own narrative. So the podcast is meant to empower parents, and it's meant to empower them to create that healing and learning environment for their children.
Thanks. Where can our listeners find out more about you and your company?
Yes, they can come on my website, www.christinelabbe.com. Sorry, it's .com.
Got it. Okay, I'm going to make sure that's in the show notes as well. Thanks so much for your time today, Christine. Really appreciate it and very insightful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was great.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.